This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
It's been a big week. And to help us debrief the big week is one of our other Melbourne's favourite people, which is Melbourne's Victoria's only commissioner, Victoria's first, Australia's first commissioner for gender and sexuality, Rowena Allen. Rowena, are you there this morning?
G'day, Tess. How you going?
Very well, thank you.
Macca,
how are you?
Here. G'day, Ro.
Hey, Macca.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm coming back up from my downer. I sort of like up, down, up, down.
Okay, this is something that we want to talk about. Mm. We've actually heard reports that after such a, you know, high anxiety provoking, very intensive period leading up to the announcement on Wednesday, then we had the exhilaration on Wednesday, people are now beginning to feel flat. What's that about, Ro?
Well, I think there was an overwhelming sense of relief. Most people that I've spoken to said that was the first emotion. Then there was a bit of joy. Then a lot of people went, you know, through different emotions, of course, and everybody's different. But then people got angry again about the process and what they've had to go through and just really quite distressed about the whole thing. So it's sort of, you know, I don't want to underestimate the post-traumatic stress of, you know, the whole experience of the postal survey. I think we should just be really, really aware that that's still affecting people. And it's a positive result, but you know, people still had no voters in their families and, you know, we have to start that process of healing, but it's going to be a long time. It's done a lot of damage. Thank goodness it wasn't a no answer. We'd be having another conversation today, but, you know, it's still people, you know, and I do feel for the people in those certain electorates, 17 across Australia, that did vote no. When they woke up the next day, I wonder what they're feeling about that. So,
funny you say that.
A lot of different feelings.
Funny you say that, Ro, because on Wednesday morning, Macca and I did a Saturday magazine on Wednesday morning to coincide with, of course, the announcement. And I woke up at 5 a.m. almost panic-stricken because we had planned a whole show around having an affirmative result. And we hadn't actually prepared our personal responses around what how we might respond if there was going to be a no outcome.
But we did, sorry, Ro, Tass and I did have breakfast before the show and we talked about and made some notes about what we would say had the result been no. Now, that note has been filed away for posterity. But interestingly, you know, I've some people I know who voted no and were quite emphatic about that and a couple of them basically said to me on Wednesday night, I suppose you're happy now. And I said, I am, but tell me why you're unhappy. Why is it that, you know, you're unhappy with this result when, you know, you had your opportunity, the majority has spoken, it hasn't been a fair fight. But at the end of the day, tell me why you're so unhappy. And they both kept coming back to this issue about, well, what they regard as religious freedoms and freedom of speech. And I said, what was the question on the ballot, on the survey form? Oh, yes, you know. And they said, that's not what it's about. And I said, that is what it was about.
Yeah.
And, okay, I probably took I tried to take a conciliatory line, so somewhere between conciliatory and certainly a long way away from attacking, but reminding it was actually about marriage equality. It wasn't about anything else. We never made it about anything else. A lot of other people did for a different reason, you know, for a whole sort of different reasons. So if someone, you know, if a no voter says to you, you know, are you happy now, Ro? What do you say to them?
Well, I'm just going to say yes, I am, you know, and move on.
I hope so.
Like, yes, I am happy, you know, and you know, hopefully one day you'll be happy for me too. Again, it's that stuff, you know, when they go low, we go high, you know. But I know there's a lot of no voters that, will, you know, and I haven't spoken to them, but I'm sure they're out there that go, okay, I voted no, the answer was yes, get on with it, you know?
And I,
there are no voters that one day will become yes voters in their heads.
Well, there's nowhere else. There's nowhere else for them to go, is there?
No, absolutely. Well, you don't get, you know, I think conservative people get their eyes opened. You know, people who are, you know, progressive don't become conservative. So really the only way now is, you know, more than 62, really. If you look at the results and, you know, 30 to 34-year-olds let us down.
They certainly did.
On the return. Where were you? Yeah, we were worried about the 18 to 25-year-olds not knowing how to find a postbox. But,
they knew where the postbox
was. 4-year-olds are the apathetic. Apathetic bunch, come on.
Yeah.
They knew where the postbox was only because they still have enough faith in Australia Post to know where the post office is to pick up their phone cover.
Ah, right. Yeah, there you go. But so, you know, I'm very positive. I think that this sends a really terrific sign that, you know, we're moving forward, and I am confident that the the people in Canberra that we elected to be there will do the right thing now. I know there's great people up there making sure that they don't slip anything in there and watching out for us. I mean, they haven't rested. I've taken a little bit of time off today, but I know we've got advocates up in Canberra ready to go and making sure that we get good legislation. So, you know, and it's not the end, of course. You know, we have to build on the momentum, and people go, oh, my God, you know, really? But, yeah, there's lots more that we need to do, and we do need to build on the momentum of this.
And it's interesting you say that, Ro, because some of my neighbours who are older folk, older LGBT folk, do say that if we actually take our eye off the ball and we give an inch, they'll actually take a mile.
Oh, yes.
And there's a high level of cynicism that still exists within older members of our community who remember what it was like to be oppressed, who remember what it was like to be actively discriminated against, and feel like, you know, that it'll never, ever really be equal.
No, I think we have to listen to that. I mean, I'd like to live in a world a little bit more hopeful than that, Taz, but...
Me too.
You know, we cannot take our eye off the ball. This is a very well-funded lobby group. And, you know, there's work to be done. They will be doing the work. We have to stay absolutely on guard and make sure that we're putting right and clear and the truthful messages, not, you know, alternative facts, but the real messages out there about our community. The trans and gender diverse and intersex community really, really copped it during the campaign. Families and our children really copped it.
They certainly did.
And many in that part of our rainbow community feel like gay and lesbian people threw them under a bus, you know. And so we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do to bring everyone along, you know. It's that old saying, leave no one behind, you know. Mm. We've got to really make sure we have equality for all, and that's what's really important.
I think one of the most offensive things, Ro, in Senator Patterson's discarded bill was the whole idea that a marriage celebrant would be the arbiter of whether you're a man or a woman, or what your
strength,
or what your gender was. I wanted to touch that point you made about, you know, we have LGBTIQ community, the LNG. I think, you know, we took the fight and we took some of the hits, but the trans community and the intersex community, you know, really did get a hard time on this. And we always said, well, I always said, this is about marriage equality. It wasn't about same-sex marriage. It was about marriage equality. Mm. In terms of the different parts of our community, what we do need to do is we do need to not just reach out, but we need to engage and we need to understand and protect and embrace and support the other parts of our community, because they've taken some incoming fire, a lot of it, and in this, you know, this joy after the event, we need to remember, and I don't want to draw it as a parallel with a war, but there are always casualties that get left behind, and we need to remember our position is solid. We need to now actually look behind us and see who's been damaged, and to reach out to them and support them and ensure that our work moving forward looks after them, don't we?
Yep. And then my job here is done.
Yeah. Oh, it'll never be done.
What? I hope one day Victoria doesn't need a commissioner for gender and sexuality, but unfortunately
we do.
We've had a commissioner for disability and a commissioner for multicultural
affairs. We need you. We need
for a long time.
You know, as
I know, but I like to think that we're getting there. You know, that we do move forward in this space. You know, yes, my day is filled. There's no question. I'm very busy, but I do have a hope and a vision. One day, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 20, but. You know,
so coming back closer to the present, Ro, what's in store now? What's next? What are you focusing on?
I want to ask, Ro, how do we support and look after those in our community that took a lot of incoming fire on this? And, you know...
Okay, that's a good question, Ro.
What do we need to do?
Well, I'll quote Sally Goldner, who I was on a panel with on Thursday night. There was a gay man who came up to her at the Globe Awards and said, and just acknowledged it, and said, the trans and gender diverse community and intersex community has really taken a hit during this postal survey. You know, and I acknowledge that and I want to support you. I mean, that's the first thing, acknowledging it's not a race at the bottom about who's the most disadvantaged. And, you know, everybody suffers a level of disadvantage. Otherwise, we wouldn't, you know, be talking about this when we're having this conversation. But it is using our particular strengths and skills in the areas of advocacy and support. So from the Victorian government's perspective, we'll be still working on everything we can do to support trans and gender diverse people. We're running another Kunga, which is the Aboriginal trans and gender diverse LGBTI forum next year. Obviously building the Pride Centre to make a permanent home that Transgender Victoria and Bisexual Alliance and others can use as well. Try to get all those groups sustainable in some way and so support them in that. We're looking at all sorts of programs coming down the pipe that will be announced hopefully fairly soon now that the survey's over. That will be for everybody, but we will be able to pick up young and older, trans and gender diverse, intersex, as well as bisexual and gay and lesbian. So that's important. I mean, one of the things that got opened up during the campaign against us in the postal survey was Lyle Shelton's call for gay conversion therapy to be available for parents for their children. It's not just gay conversion therapy, it's trans and gender diverse healing as well. And I'm going into that field now. So they're moving, they're expanding. So we've got to stomp that out before it takes hold as well. And there's lots of work we've got to do in that space. And I'm working with the Health Services Commissioner and we've got strengthened legislation around such things. And, you know, it's all that work. I was there at the launch of the Trans 20 Research, which is a 20-year research project looking at the impacts that the Royal Children's Hospital is having on trans and gender diverse young people and supporting that project. You know, there's thousands of things in that space. We've got to continue to keep doing it and keep talking about it and supporting each other and saying, well, how would you like me to support you? What can I do to get involved? How can I be involved? What do I need to do? Because some people may be going, okay, this is it. This is the last frontier. We've got marriage equality. It's all done.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, there's nobody saying that out there. Okay, that's great.
There are people who are saying that out there, but you're right. It's actually still a lot of work to do.
That actually, we're all right, Jack, but there's some people. We've opened the door. We need to let people in behind us. And
just because we're at the
front. That's really, really important.
Just because we're at the front of the bus doesn't mean there aren't people sitting behind us.
Mm. That's it.
We have run out of time, unfortunately.
We have. You know, I just want to say, Lyle Shelton, we asked him 8 times to come on the show and he didn't, you don't have to comment, Ro, he didn't have the comments, he didn't have the courage to come on. He talks about gay conversion therapy. I'm actually want to spend some money on research on stupid conversion therapy because I think we could make it Medicare.
Don't you just mean stupidity?
No, he's not stupid. He's just misguided.
Ro, thank you very much for your time again this morning. Perhaps early in the new year we might get you in for the whole show. Come in, co-host with us and let's chew the fat and talk about a broad range of things, of course, including the great work that you're doing.
Yeah. Happy Yes Week, everybody, and enjoy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time and thank you for being such a great community leader. Yes.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.